Welcome to Makers Figuring It Out, a show where we strive to educate, motivate, inspire makers of all skill levels with special guest makers, tips and tricks, do's and don'ts, and many things in between. And as always, my good friend Jacob from Native Son Wood Art is here and helping me figure out what we're trying to figure out this week, whatever that is.
Hi.
There you go. I was waiting for you.
Thanks. Wonderful
chirp.
Intro.
I'm like, chirp, chirp, chirp. Like, I do have that thing.
Crickets.
Yeah. I'm a sexy dude. Quick.
I mean, you totally got this nailed. It's not like you haven't done this before at all, but like, you know, I'm just.
No, thanks, man. Appreciate that.
No problem. So what's up, Steve? How you doing, man?
I'm telling you, man, I'm on cloud nine. I got to see my little grandson for the first time, and I love the kid. He's just, he can't say any, I can't, I'm all mixed and talked, just, I'm overwhelmed.
Overwhelmed. Words.
Words are hard.
Use your words.
Are hard. I mean, it just chokes me up. I mean, he's just a super cute kid, and you know, I can't wait to see him again. It's just, it's amazing.
Do they live super close by, or is it like a trip for them, or where exactly?
No, they were actually moving from St. Louis to Alabama, Southern Alabama, and I convinced them to
Alabama.
Yep, to drive over to Pennsylvania on their way. Which is totally not on the way to Alabama from St. Louis. Mm-hmm. So they appreciate it. They made an extra trip. So then they're coming back because they got to go get some more stuff from St. Louis. So I get to see him twice this year. So I'm really stoked about that. And then we had a picture of the four generations because my dad's still around, me, my son, and my grandson. So from six
That's
months
awesome.
To 6 months to 87 years.
That's so awesome.
It was cool. So how's your week going?
It's going pretty good. But before that, I want to say, like, I am truly happy that you had that opportunity. You know, not a lot of people do, and it's harder and harder, like, nowadays. And family's always important. So I'm glad that you had that opportunity with your grandson.
Yeah,
man. Everybody together.
Yeah, I almost cried a couple dozen times, so. I got to lay on the floor and have tummy time with him, and his tummy is about as big as mine, but he's a little bit smaller, but he'll grow. And he is
right. He's got an excuse. Cause he was born.
Yeah, pretty much. But he is tall, and he's like 22, 25 pounds now. And he's only 6 months old. He's a heavy kid.
Damn. He's going big.
He's going to outgrow me and my son. So, it's just, I don't know where he got. I know where those genes came from. They're not on my side.
That good genetics, huh?
Yeah, I'm a short shit. But anyway, speaking of short shits, how was your week? I had to get you back, dude.
Yeah, you're right. Now my week is pretty good. Work's going all right. I got some shop time in. Working. I finished up the wine caddy. I just have one more shot left to do, two more shots left to do for that before I can start getting the whole video edited and get that out and kind of get back into the saddle with editing and, you know, getting some content back onto the channel. And
awesome.
You know, been glad to, the makerspace has been awesome to be able to have a dedicated space where I can go in, you know, get some work done, have access to bigger and better tools and just space, just
right?
Open space to be able to do things has been really great. And the guys I run it are really cool. And maybe wink, wink, nudge, nudge might be something coming soon, but ooh, you know, nice. For a little preview, peel back the kimono kind of deal.
Gotcha.
Might have some special guests coming soon, but yeah, it's been pretty cool. And I'm, you know, got that done. It's looking really good. That's the cherry came out really sexy looking. So I'm happy about that.
Very good. Very good. I'm glad you had a good week too. So we do have a guest this week.
And we do.
That guest, I call him the epoxy king because this guy, he's the go-to for me. Anytime I have a question about epoxy, and I've reached out to him several times and I'm like, dude, what's the difference? What's this? What's that? And he always comes back always tells me, you know, the straight skinny, and it's awesome. And it is Jake Thompson. What's going on, Jake?
Hey, thank you guys for having me. I've been looking forward to it.
Me too.
Yeah, we're happy to have you.
Yeah. So, I mean, we were talking before the show, and I thought I had met you, and well, it turns out that you weren't even there.
It was just a, figment of his imagination that he made up, because he just adores you so much.
Yeah, I'm a I look like a lot of people.
Yes. Yeah, but and it's kind of weird because I got the reason that I thought I met you is because of your one video, and so it was just kind of weird. I'm like, we didn't? Are you sure? You're like, oh, on there. I don't know where you were. But I thought we met at WorkbenchCon 2020 down in Atlanta, and obviously we did not, but I did get the backstory on the video, so I don't know where the heck that came from. It might have been might have been the word on the street.
A friend of a friend.
Yeah, pretty much.
So speaking of WorkbenchCon, who else is sad that it's not going to happen this year?
I am sad.
I was planning on going.
Yeah. Well, yeah. You've been to a couple Maker Centrals, haven't you?
I've been to one in 2019, and I was going to go back, and I'm going to, whenever they have it, I'm going to go. It was that cool of a thing.
Yeah. So yeah, what's the difference between Maker Central and, or did I steal your question, Jacob?
No. I was going to say, like, the difference is a continent. essentially,
that's right. Like it is. That's a.
But I was gonna say, like, I was actually disappointed that WorkbenchCon wasn't happening. I'm sorry.
Well, that's how much I know.
It's a 3-hour plane ride versus a 11 hours.
Pretty much, yeah. It's a cross the pond, as they say.
Exactly. Okay. But
I'm as the super fan.
the more you know, right, Steve?
Yeah, the more you know, the more dangerous I become. But anyway,
I was going to say that I was just disappointed that wasn't going to be happening this year just because of, well, I know it probably was going to happen because of COVID, but I was still disappointed because of, I keep hearing like a lot of my Maker friends talking about it. They've been to it and like just being hyped up. I'm like, this big grand thing. I'm like, I can't go now. I'm like, damn it. I gotta wait like a whole extra year.
So I don't think I'll ever be going to Maker Central then, because I forgot it's in Europe.
Why not? Go on, I'd be down.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah. We could do a live broadcast from there. But anyway, exactly. We are talking too much. We have a guest, and we need to talk to our guest because he's a busy man. He's digging holes and burying things, and
burying things with something live and.
Yeah, something live cable. But so, Jake, I thought I met you at WorkbenchCon, which we said turned out to be false. But the reason that I thought I met you is because you had a project that you made, because unfortunately or fortunately, you no longer married. So congratulations and my condolences at the same time. I've done the same thing 3 times. But our listeners know that, so we don't need to go over that. But Jake, you made a coffin, slide top coffin, and something happened. So I'm going to let you finish the story because I'll just keep talking.
So I'll start off by saying I did get divorced, and I let enough time go by. And I tried to be classy about in the video and not bring her into it. It was about the ring. And so there's that. And then I did the whole ring. I did, I made a sliding dovetail coffin with a hand carved cross in it. And I spent a lot of time on that thing. And then I, in the video appeared that I buried it in the backyard while there's a storm and got dressed up for it and everything. It was pretty cool, but it was actually a fake. I buried a fake one because I wasn't even finished with the coffin yet, because I mean, I wasn't done yet and the weather was perfect for that scene I wanted to do. So I went ahead and made a fake one real quick and put on my tie and got a shovel and did the do.
So And so then you posted it on Instagram. You posted it on YouTube. And what happened to it?
They demonetized it. And this is back when the apocalypse was going on. So I didn't think much of it at first. And you go ahead and you just dispute it or whatever. And then the next day, usually it would be back up. And
bastards.
They said, no, we mean this one. It's controversial content or whatever. But
we mean it. It's staying off forever.
And this is going to sound funny to some people, but it had 1,500 views the first day. And back at that point in time, my videos didn't do that. If they got a few hundred in the first 24 hours, I was pretty happy. And this thing got 1,500. So I'm like, yes, man, this is going to be the one. And then it demonetized. So, and then once it demonetized, no views.
Right. Because they stopped promoting it.
Yeah.
Correct. Yeah.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So, I mean, Jake, you have well over 100 videos out there. So, you know, fans, if you're listeners, you got to go check him out. He does some great work. And like I said, he is the epoxy guy. He's my go-to. And also his shop is pretty kind of cool too. Because I have to ask you about this. So do you, in your videos, you have football teams and then you have the scores down. Do you do that only for certain teams or do you do it for all the teams while they're playing?
Green Bay is the team, is my team.
Okay.
So it's going to be in the center all the time.
Gotcha.
And then viewers will send me flags of their teams and I'll make their logo for the light box for that year. And then after that year's over, I get the whatever, if I have a football or trinkets or whatever, and then that sign that I made, I send it back to that viewer. I keep the flag up in my shop.
Oh, that's kind of cool, dude.
So the ones on either side of the Green Bay flag, they switch out every year. But this year was different, COVID, and we didn't even know if there's gonna be football. I was working. There was some months I only had 4 days off a month, so I didn't get to change them this year. Right. So next year. There'll be a couple new flags up and we'll start over.
Yeah. Cause I mean, when I was watching your videos, I'm like, just wonder if he does that every week, but I'm learning something and that's what we're here for. Learning, stuff,
education. Speaking of which, what do you do for your job?
I usually don't talk about it much, but I'm not going to be doing that job very much longer. I may not even go back to work. So
your bosses aren't listening. So
I'm on vacation. Well, it's different than that. It's I'm a correctional officer in a maximum security Texas prison, and I've ran the psych department for the last 10 years.
Okay, cool.
So
that's got to be interesting.
The shop is stress relief.
I bet.
I could see
There's never a dull day. There's never a. I'm leaving the job, but I'm not mad at the job. It afforded me the opportunity to have the time to do the YouTube channel do that kind of stuff. And the channel's at the point to where either crap or get off the pot.
Right. Gotcha.
So.
Yeah, because you were about a little over 30,000 subscribers, like 31,000. Yeah. And congrats to you for that as well. Yeah. I know you put in a lot of time for at least several years of work to be able to get it there. And let's transition into that, mind you. Like exactly like what brought you onto YouTube? Exactly, like where did the bug kind of hit you?
We were doing when I was married. We were doing. She would go buy shapes from Hobby Lobby. And we would paint them and then give them as gifts and everything. And people liked it. And the next thing you know, I'm going, how much are you paying for those shapes? So I was like, man, I could probably buy a piece of plywood and a saw and do that. So I started doing it. And next thing you know, we started selling them and doing craft shows. And then we learned how to do craft shows and what that's all about. And so I was like, I'll go ahead and start filming it and see. And I started doing woodworking too, like bigger things. And I was like, I wanted it as a way to measure if I was getting any good at it or not, just to document it. And then next thing, then over time it just becomes it becomes something else. And you do several different things. I stopped doing craft shows, and I started doing some CNC stuff, and I made some cedar chests, and then next thing you know, I'm doing resin, and I got a lathe, and now I'm making that stuff. And then I've kind of just grabbed onto the resin stuff, and I enjoy it, and I enjoy learning about it. I enjoy doing it. I like the products when they're done. It's almost, I don't want to say this, like you can mess up resin, but how they look at the end of it, if as long as you don't have any bubbles or malfunctions, they always look good. It's almost like you can't mess it up if you treat the resin right.
Right. If you do the right procedures, it comes out good almost every time if you treat it well. For sure, I enjoy resin personally. I enjoy mixing it with wood and those mediums. I enjoy the contrast for sure. And I watched a few. We talked about this before. When I was learning about resin, I watched a few of your videos and Peter Brown and Blacktail Studios and all the kind of go-to guys with resin. And it's just interested resin's kind of it seems intimidating at first, right? This kind of liquid that turns into a solid, and there's the thermal reaction, it can gives off heat, and then there's bubbles. You gotta worry about bubbles or cracking and sealing things up. It can be a little bit intimidating first. What was your experience when you first started getting into it?
Well, I knew I wanted to do it, and is that me echoing?
Might be.
Let me see. How about that?
Go again.
Oh.
Just shout 1, 2, 3.
So. 1, 2, 3.
No, you're fine. Keep going with it.
Okay, so.
I don't hear much here.
We'll figure it out.
Okay, I was watching Heath Knuckles videos.
Oh yeah, Heath Knuckles. Yeah, he was one of my first as well.
Yeah, fantastic videos, and not only the resin work and the turning work, it was the video making too.
Mm-hmm.
And so it's like he hit a home run on everything. So I'm like, man, if I could do that's cool. And I saw he did one of his spheres, and I don't know why, but I thought, man, I could put a Hulk in that. So once I started doing it, it was just I soaked up as many videos as I could. I knew that you needed to use stabilized wood, and I knew moisture, it doesn't like moisture. I just learned the basics of it. And the first try on the Hulk was, there's no bubbles, there's no overheating, there's nothing went wrong. So I was pretty happy with it. And then once you have a win, then you're hooked. It's kind of like hitting a, I don't play golf much. I used to play a little bit. When you hit that perfect shot,
right,
then you want to get it again and keep on going. But
you want to just keep chasing it.
Keep striving. Yeah. Yeah. I don't know where I'm going. I'm still in baby mode, so you have to. I'm just on cloud nine.
He'll be back. All right. Focus eventually. Now.
Yeah.
Focus.
Focus.
over time you'd learn what your place is.
Mm-hmm.
I think whether you want to try to, like, if you're trying to find it or not, it finds you. And now I think, I don't know if it's my personality or the way I speak or whatever, people, I can explain something to people and they're not intimidated, or like I present it in a way where it's easy to understand. It's not overcomplicated, because I'm not going to do anything that's overcomplicated. I get it to where I can understand it, and then, or the problems that I have, and then I can say, okay, I can make a video on it, and then it's appreciated, because as you all know, like you're normally not going to be the only one that has a problem doing something.
Right.
So if I have a problem doing it, somebody's going to benefit from it.
Yeah, because one of the videos that I looked at that I did research for was, I didn't know what stabilizing wood was.
Yeah.
And so your video was perfect. You explained it perfectly. And I was just, because I looked at a bunch of other ones and I'm like, I don't get it. I mean, I get it, but I don't get it. And then I watched yours and went, oh, that's, Why didn't you just say that in the first place? So what is the, so kind of follow on question for our listeners is, what does the stabilization do and why do you have to do it? I mean, I think it's for the air bubbles pretty much. Cause
there's several reasons. One of them, if you get a piece of burl and it's, they're almost like a sponge. So when you put them on the lathe, if you just put that on the lathe and start turning it, it's going to want to break apart and it's not going to want to stay together. So there's one thing. If you stabilize it, it's going to be where it's a more solid piece of wood.
Right. A lot more sturdy.
Right. So whenever you stabilize it, for the resin purposes, moisture and air, you got to dry it out all the way. And then whenever you stabilize it, which means you take all the air out of it and you replace it with cactus juice resin. So now there's no, and then you solidify that with heat. So now you don't have moisture. You'll have surface moisture. So before you do cast it, you need to like put it in the oven to blast the surface moisture off of it. But now it's a solid piece of wood. You're not going to get air out of it and you're not going to get moisture out of it. So when you cast it, you're not going to get foam and just nastiness coming out of that piece of wood because it's pretty much sealed from having moisture or air in it.
Right. Now cactus juice is just a brand name, correct?
It's a brand name of a stabilizing resin. Okay. So like when you think about resins, you think about part A and part B.
Right. Mm-hmm.
So the cactus juice is part A and heat is part B.
Okay.
And that's what turns it hard.
Okay.
Right, because after you replace all the air with the epoxy, you know, when you have it in the chamber, you have to put it in the oven or mm-hmm. a oven, preferably not the one that you cook with, to let it actually harden, right?
Right.
So it can finish the process.
And it can triple in the weight of it.
Really?
Yes. It'll considerably way heavier. And that way, when you put it on the lathe, it's not going to break apart on you. It's
right.
It helps in every way. Yeah.
It's stabilized.
Mm-hmm. It's there forever.
So is there any other way to stabilize it besides cactus juice? Can you just use a regular epoxy and just let it soak in? Or, you know, like when they do the river tables, I know they will paint, you know, the edges mm-hmm. to seal them. But is there another way, either a pressure pot or a vacuum to, you know, get it in there? Or
I think Total Bolt makes something that's similar to what you're talking about. Mm-hmm. Other products. I haven't used any, so I don't really know, but there's other products out there that do it. When I did the money table, it was with a 50-inch long burl.
Right.
So I didn't think about it. So you get your resin that you're going to use as the deep part of your table and you coat it. So you seal off you seal in the moisture and you seal mm-hmm. in the air. Right. Well, it just kept soaking it up. So I'm not sure. I did it 3 or 4 times until it finally stopped soaking it up. Now, I don't know if that stabilized it, or I don't know if it made it stronger
or just
it just cost me more money in resin.
I got it. But actually that brings up a point that I wanted to get into, and I'm sorry, Steve, I'm cutting you off. With brands, I noticed that you use almost exclusively Alumilite, and I believe if I'm not mistaken, you are sponsored by them, correct?
I'm affiliated with them. That just means I like their stuff, so they give me coupon codes, and then whenever somebody buys their stuff, I get a little kickback. And but that being said, they don't expect me to just use their own stuff. I can use whatever I want. So when I do the pen blank stuff, I'll always use Liquid Diamonds epoxy because you don't need a pressure pot, and you don't need to weigh it.
Oh, all
so right. Anybody can go over there and say and get a measuring cup and go 2-to-1 and then mix it and get some colors and make some pen blanks or make whatever they want to make. So because you have the people that go, well, I can't do that. I'm not gonna, if I had all that fancy equipment, I could do it too. So I like to show that you can do whatever you want to do. Now, Lumalight doesn't care, and I just picked up Eye Candy Pigments as an affiliate also, and they also don't care if I use Cashier's Choice or any of the other pigments or mica powders. And that's pretty much if somebody wants to work with me or whatever, I'm not gonna right. limit myself to just one thing, because there's tons and tons of things out there. And if they don't have what I like, then I'll use somebody else's, and I'm gonna get the job done first.
Gotcha.
So you know, I know you've done a. No, sorry, Jacob.
No, I'm sorry. You're not, like, you're not just exclusively these. You're just like, you work with them, but like, they're not the only ones that you limit yourself to.
But I'll tell you this, Alumalight, I've had several not sponsorship, but just people who are filling with, or you make a deal with them or whatever. Mm-hmm. And some are not very good at all. And then on the other side of that spectrum, Alumalight. Right. They're super nice, they're super helpful. They share your content on Instagram, they share my stuff on YouTube, just like the stabilizing video. They'll mention stabilizing, and then in the cards it'll say how to stabilize wood and why, and it'll be nice. So that's a really good affiliate to be a part of, that someone that actually, they're kind of a fan of yours, and they want to see you succeed and stuff. It's not all about getting that little kickback from that gallon of resin. It's about the relationship you gain and the friends you make along the way too.
Right
air.
Did
it. See, you can go now, Steve.
I can go now. I can go now. Thanks, man. Because I know that you did at least one or two videos of comparing a pressure pot without a pressure pot, or a vacuum to a pressure pot. And if I remember correctly, when the vacuum, you're taking all the air out and basically forcing the liquid in. It'll just soak it up faster. Correct?
So the most common question I get is, like, some people, and most of them are overseas, they use vacuum chambers to get the air out of their resins.
Right.
And I've never done it. I've used the vacuum chamber to get air out of silicone.
Oh, okay. And
so, but I am going to do a video on pressure pot versus vacuum chamber, just so when somebody asks me for the 5,000th time, I can just copy and paste the link to that video. I can say, right. Here you go. As people have it in their heads, like, we do things a certain way, and somebody else might do it in a certain way, and I get it. But it, even when I was in Maker Central and Zach Higgins was, we were, and Pam Harris, we were doing a thing, and we get the same question. It was the same. How come you don't use vacuum? How come you don't use vacuum? And the easy answer to that is because I have a pressure pot.
Right.
Like, because I don't.
It's immediate. So if you have a slow working resin or a fast one, when you put it in there, if you're done pouring, you put it in the pressure pot, the bubbles are gone. It squishes them so hard that you can't see it.
Yeah.
Yeah. So if you're doing a vacuum, first of all, Lumalight Clear Slow only has 12 minutes of working time. So you don't have time to mix it up, put it in there, get the bubbles out of it, and then pour it. So it's getting hot already. Like, I did a live today, and it was hotter in the shop. So it was really only 9 minutes, and it was ready to pour because it was hotter in the shop today.
It also goes along with ambient temperature. Also, mm-hmm. So you have to keep your shop. You keep your shop at a certain temperature, so it everything is the normal. So you don't have to, you know. And if you want to make it slower, you just lower the temperature, right? You want to make mm-hmm. it faster, you turn it into a sweat box.
It was fast today. I promise you, I was scrambling today.
Yeah, because I remember seeing. It must have been with the silicone then. Because you were showing the bubbles coming out of the silicone mm-hmm. when you were doing the vacuum, and then you have to release the vacuum to let everything pop back down, and then it fills, then all the bubbles come back up, and it was like, wow, that just takes a lot longer.
That's when you're doing silicone, that's you know, you don't use that much because the bubbles come up so high, so you'll overflow whatever cup you have it in.
Right.
And plus, you don't want to do too much silicone at one time anyway. One, because it's expensive. Mm-hmm. And then if you made too much and then you have some left over, well, I mean, you can reuse it, but it's expensive. So
I'm noticing a trend here between epoxy and silicone is very expensive.
Yeah. So, but it's, if you don't vacuum degas silicone, say you're making pin molds, mm-hmm. and you don't vacuum degas it, and then you go ahead and you pour it and you put that in the pressure pot, then you have air bubbles in your silicone. Now your silicone mold's going to deform.
Right, because you're squishing those bubbles and it actually right. pulls the silicone
right
with it. So you could actually have wavy.
Yeah. And that might not be that big a deal, but if I'm doing a hand, if I'm doing a life casting of a hand.
Right.
And now it's all funky looking. It's probably not what you want to do.
He's never done that either. Yeah, he's never done that with the. Yeah, that issue was kind of a cool video where you used all the, well, they were pencils, weren't they?
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah, and the hand, that was kind of neat. Then you're just handing there like, I got my hand in this stuff. But I mean, but they sell those kind of kits at Walmart though, but they're not, well, they are silicone, but you know, they're pretty cheap, I would assume.
That, and then it takes more than you think. And then like when you start making molds to put silicone in, you start being clever on how to make them because once again,
it's expensive.
It's going to hit you in the wallet.
Yeah. So what is your go-to mold material? I mean, I've seen people, some will use the tape and they'll just wrap tape around it and then make their molds that way. And then, you know, they'll line it. And I've seen other people do it another. How do they do it? They'll use cutting boards. The plastic cutting boards and.
Yeah, the HDPE cutting board or right. like melamine or corrugated plastic or
people are actually on Etsy making those now because they're in demand.
And I did a beginner video on making molds and don't be intimidated. Mm-hmm. And one mold was a plastic cup. That was the most simple one, is put some mold release in your plastic cup and there's your mold.
Exactly.
And then you go to HDPE, but that's the price of that is skyrocketed because of COVID.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. But luckily I bought a bunch of it before. Nice. But anyway, just screwing that together and then putting hot glue around the edges to make sure it don't leak is pretty simple. Right. And if you're gonna say like pin blank molds, or if you want a certain size, they last for a real long time. And corrugated plastic's not my favorite, but it'll get you by. I mean,
I've seen that too.
I mean, like you said, expensive, and like I was doing it on the cheap.
Yeah.
It worked.
Yeah, that's basically the thing. Like some of the things I do are, the molds are the ugliest thing you've ever seen. Mm-hmm. But I'm not trying to make the mold pretty. I'm trying to make what's in the mold pretty. So,
right,
it doesn't matter. Like as long as you don't have any leaks and you're not leaking resin all over your shop, then it's a win.
Right. Exactly. Now, one of the things that besides all resin pen blanks is you like to use burl and make pen blanks and just pour the epoxy in the middle and make pens like that, which are awesome and beautiful. Mm-hmm. Where do you get the burl? I mean, I can't be cheap.
Instagram has a worldwide burl and they have auctions all the time, every day. They have auctions, and then you can just call the guy up and say, hey, I'm looking for something this particular size or whatever.
Right.
And so when I get one, when he has one that's warped or it's defective or whatever, and no one's bidding on it, then I'll get it. And then the pen doesn't know that the big piece of wood was warped.
Right. It doesn't matter.
it don't care.
Yeah. I'm cutting an inch off of it. It does. Right. So it doesn't matter. So that's how I get it. So I get that stuff, I stabilize it, and then make those blanks. I need to make some more, matter of fact.
Yeah, so that's pretty much that's where your funding for yourself comes from, is the sale of the pen blanks, and then you also do molds too, correct?
Or is it Somehow I figured out how to not sell anything yet.
Really? I'm surprised. I would have figured like the
I would have figured. Yeah.
So I see you doing the giveaways on Instagram all the time.
The giveaways are the setup for me being able to sell them later.
Okay.
Okay.
So I get, there's tons of pen makers out there. So what I do is I make them and I'll make a video of me making these pen blanks. So one, they seen, if they watch the show, they can see me make them. And then I go, hey, these, you can get one. So everybody gets in there and then they, you do the giveaway on there and then your following goes up and then more people want it. And then, that's what it started off as. And now everybody that wins it, they're like, hey, I'll ask them, hey, do you want me to send you a link to that video where I made that? They're like, no, I watched it already. So that kind of helps me out know that what I'm doing, because it is hard work and you guys both know that, that it's kind of reassurance that you're doing the right thing and you're people are enjoying it and appreciating it. So that's the, now it's, I got the hashtag Jake Blanks. And so I put that on there and that's growing. And so when I get ready to do this full time and I start doing this, now I'll have a customer base that's going to be, I'm not going to have a lull or try to, my marketing is right now, I guess you could say.
Right.
With the giveaways.
Yeah, because we have a mutual friend, Jacob and I, you probably know him, Justin from Bear Maked. If you haven't heard of him, but he, we had him on the show a couple times, and pretty much the reason that he does pen blanks and small things like that, he's like, floor space is expensive. And he said, you know, he's like, pen blanks, they're, you know, 8 inches long, they're small. Yeah. So I could stock up on them, and, you know, and I was like, man, that's it. You know, so you could actually work out of your garage and make a living just making pen blanks and making pens, which, you know. But I still haven't made the jump to a lathe yet.
Right, because he keeps on talking about like making pen blanks and like keep telling him, like, just do it. Like, just stop talking about it and just do it.
Yeah, it's fun. And then the thing is, they're, none of them are the same. Mm-hmm. Like, I got a video coming out this weekend that it's I use the same mica powders on two different kinds of resins, and they look totally different.
Oh, really?
Yeah. So it's just all fun. Like, in part of the giving away the pen blanks, now I get to see, I get to get hit in the wallet a lot. I'm sending these things all over the world. Now I got to figure out what's the cheapest way and the safest way to ship this stuff. Right. And I got one guy, he sent me he's a young kid, and he's like, Mr. Thompson, I got your package, kind of.
Kind of. Like,
so his package got there, but the top of it was ripped off. It had a shoe print on it.
Lovely. Jeez.
So now I'm like, do I need to put them in a box, or do I need to put tape around the both ends of it to make sure it's better or whatever? So that's another reason why to give them away, so I can figure out all the stuff that I need to figure out before I'm actually selling these things.
See, right. I notice a theme here, figuring it out.
Yeah. There you go.
You know, you gotta figure all this stuff out, and you know, that's why we're called Makers Figuring It Out.
It almost works out too easy. Too perfect.
It's too good.
It works out really well, because I hear it every time on, you know, every podcast you listen to. They're like, we're just trying to figure this out. And I'm like, man.
You're like, they mentioned us kind of, sort of, not really.
If we could trademark that.
God, if only.
You know, well, we could trademark, actually, it would be register. We could register the logo, but the words, you can't really register.
Yeah, no.
Yeah. There is a trademark. No, it would be a trademark, not written. Okay, I'm just, you know, spitballing now.
Yeah, exactly. Well, like, I've actually had the same issue that you had, or kind of, sort of, actually. I tried to send something to one of my patrons, and it was like this little keychain, and it was in a mail envelope, and it said, like, anything over, like, it was an ounce or 2 ounces, you can't ship it in there. But I weighed it, and it was, like, less than an ounce. It was, like, half an ounce. And I put it in there, and she got it. But then it, like, had, like, they ripped it open, like, they took out the keychain. I'm like, well, what the hell, man?
Nice.
I'm like, that's bullshit.
She got the envelope, but she didn't get the keychain.
Yeah, she got the empty ass, like, paper. She got the paper, but didn't get the maple keychain that I freaking made.
Yeah. It's a there's a plenty of things before I start selling things. There's plenty of things I wanted to be right and organized, and I don't want to. The reason why I don't sell things right now because I only have 4 days off a month.
Right.
So and I'd rather make somebody mad by telling them I can't make that for you, rather than say yeah I can make it and then I'm a month late. Yeah.
Right. Yeah, I know. Yeah, that's I'm pretty much I promised a buddy of mine that was that I knew out in San Diego. He wanted me to make a pot rack for him that he can hang on the wall or a door, and I'm like, sure. So I went out and I bought two slabs, and you know, I'm waiting for it to dry out because you know, you got to wait for it to dry out before you because it'll warp and other things, and then a whole bunch of stuff, life happened. And I'm like, I just you know, messaged him and said, I'm glad you didn't pay up front. Because I told him, I said, number one, it's an experiment. So if it turns out like crap, I'm not going to give it to you. But, and so we just worked it out. And it, eventually when I get the shop built and, you know, which is hopefully going to start tomorrow. Well, actually I have to insulate the shop because it's freezing down there.
That's part of it though.
Yeah, I mean it's part of its beginning. So what I'm thinking about doing is just making videos for everything that I'm doing down there. You know, mm-hmm. Give me content. Yeah. You know, and it'll be like, you know, figuring it out and you know, getting electrocuted at the same time.
You never know which video is gonna hit. So my best video is about the Dust Deputy versus Dust Topper shootout. Right. And it was because I didn't have video that week. And I said, man, I can go to Home Depot and get one of these things. And then just do a sound comparison and how much gets in the vacuum and all that stuff. And it has like 200 something thousand views.
Right.
And it was just something I threw together.
Well, because that hits pretty much every woodworker out there.
Yeah.
You know, if you're not a person that does pen, you know, turning, most of your content doesn't really apply to them, but that does.
Yeah.
So, you know, it's those things, but yeah, I've talked to many makers and they're like, I thought this video sucked, or they, or they said that it was sitting there for, you know, it sat there for 4 months and, you know, would get a hit here, you know, we get maybe 100 hits, you know, a week or something like that. But then all of a sudden it just boom. And I'm like, well, when's that going to happen?
I mean, that video, it was really my opinion. And I did, it was facts. I had machines to measure the sound. And,
right.
And so I did it. And it was right. But it was one of those where I'm like, I don't know. I'm going to make a video on this today. And then it was no time to edit it. Like it normally when I do a project video, it takes me at least a full day to edit.
Right.
And yeah. That one was like a couple hours.
Yeah, like the quickest, cheapest, yeah. Easy, yeah. I don't want to say lackluster, but like the one that you put the, like the least amount of effort into, yeah. Is the one that popped off. And like,
yeah,
it's kind of like our podcast. You know, there's not a lot of editing that goes on because Jacob, you know, finally has learned how to keep his 4-letter words to himself. And I've also found out, you know, little tricks, you know, from doing this for 43 episodes. So, it, you know, you figure it out and it may not be, you know, in a week, it may not be 2 weeks. And you're like, oh, why haven't I been doing this the entire time? You know, that thing. And I mean, it's just like, you know, you've bought pressure pots that were, you know, specifically made. And then you made a video of one that you bought from Home Depot, from Harbor Freight. And how you converted that. And I think that's when our friend Vincent contacted you because he wanted to do some. And, you know, I told him, like, go here, Jake Thompson. He's like, oh, okay. I'm like, just ask him. I said, he's a great guy. He'll respond to you. He's not, you know, one of these guys that, you know, will ignore your messages. So, I mean, so
that's
I passed you on, dude.
It's difficult sometimes. I'll say that, but I make sure to try to, get to everybody that asks a question. And sometimes I, you know, language barriers and stuff. I'm like, what do you want to know? Like, I don't know.
Yeah.
I still try. I'll even go to translators and like Google what it means and say, okay. And then I'll write them back in English. I don't know if they have to translate it back.
There's another podcast out there that they get reviews for their videos from, you know, all over the world. And so they have to translate it. And it's, you know, when it translated, they're like, that makes no sense whatsoever. And it's, you know, right now, I don't have to worry about that, you know. But we do have to worry about one thing, paying the bills.
Paying the bills.
Yep. Yeah. So, well, friends, we'll be back right after our messages from our sponsors with the Epoxy King himself, Jay Compson. If you are in need of a little happy artwork for your home, office, or shop, then be like Jacob and I and many others by stopping by the Creative Ward Gallery on Instagram and Facebook. There you will find many beautiful Bob Ross inspired artworks by the very talented Marion Ward. All are hand painted and no two are exactly the same. So join Jacob and I in our support of this happy little art gallery by picking up your work of art, or work of Marion in this case, for your space or as a gift for family or friends. You won't be disappointed. Mention our podcast and you'll get free shipping in the United States. That's the Creative Ward Gallery on Facebook and Instagram. Has your cutting board seen better days? What about those pesky sweat rings on your fine furniture? Do you like to read but find it difficult to hold the book open without your hands getting cramped? Well, friends, we have the place for you. Search Handmade by Vincent Ferrari on your favorite web browser, where his motto is custom for everyone. Whether it's custom woodwork, laser engraving, or jewelry, what you want is only a request away. So visit friend and supporter of the show, Vincent Ferrari, on Instagram and the World Wide Web. Mention code MFIO, and Vincent will give you 10% off.
And we're back with the king of epoxy himself, Jake Thomas. It's weird, and Steve. It's weird.
I'm sorry. Every time.
Every time that I run into somebody else with the name Jacob, it's weird. I'm like, how many of us can there actually be?
There's lots.
Even though, like you go by Jake. I understand that there's a lot, but like I honestly don't come across people with our name that often. You know, so that's why it's weird for me, because like I'm saying my name, but not.
Yeah, it's Jake. Yeah, so you know that.
Shut up.
That happened in the break, and it was like Jake Gub.
I know you struggled a bit. You even got confused. Jacob from Other Dog Designs. It sometimes is a struggle for me because it's just weird. Like, all right, not my name, but not my name.
Well, I mean, it was the same thing when we were talking to Steve Ramsey.
Mm.
You're like, Steve. I'm like, what? No, the other one, the real important one, not you.
The one that matters.
Yep. Yeah, the one that matters. So we are back with Jake Thompson. Thanks for coming back with us, Jake.
Thanks for still being here.
Yeah, pretty much.
Thanks for having me still.
Yeah. So I'm going to start this half of the show, or the second half of the show, off with, on every one of your videos, well, on every one of your videos that I've seen, at the very end, you do a little shaky thing with your hat. Is that your trademark, or did that just come to you one day, and you're like,
I have to do it now, and it's like good things. It started off as an accident. So on the first camera that I ever had, it was like a flip-out camcorder.
Mm-hmm.
And you can barely see the screen, and I would have a wireless mic or whatever, and then when you put that in there, it would have like a little equalizer at the bottom.
Right.
Well, I would always go up. I would always move up to it to see the little equalizer, and then when I got up there, I'm like, man, my hat's crooked as hell. So I'd have to fix my hat every time, and then next thing you know, people were commenting on it and stuff. So now I just do that. It's like a hat tip now, and it's. I've done it on every single video.
Yep. I noticed that. It's actually kind of cool, because if you didn't do it, people would call you out on it now.
Oh yeah. Yeah.
You know, and it's just kind of funny how those things, you know, snowball, and it's your thing now.
Yeah. And that's like on the beginning of the videos, or I'll just say, hey, we're going to make this. And I just walk past the camera.
Or you go, then, or you, yeah, use I go, your, you point your finger.
I just go, And that was total. That's just nervous habit or whatever you want to call it. And it's just
now it's a thing.
It's what you got to do now.
Yeah. Right. That's part of your style now. And
yeah.
Like how would you categorize your style? And how did you find your style? I should say.
You watch the people that you first start watching, and mm-hmm. then you kind of piece together a video, and then you just try to get better every time. And then now I'll do several different styles. Like I'm trying a new one right now. The one that's coming out this weekend, I did it in a live format style, and nice. I just recorded it and then downloaded it. And then I edited it from there. So I got the headphones on and I got the different angles and all that stuff like a live. And so instead of it being an hour though, I edited it down to like 20 something minutes.
Right.
Nice.
So I can do that style. I can do a music video. I like the music videos myself because I just like watching them. But people hate them. And so I started doing some voiceovers lately. And if it's just a purely instructional video, like the stabilizing mm-hmm. or whatever like that, I just take that as I'm going to give these people as much, everything I wanted to know about this is what, the information I need to get out. And sometimes I stumble over my words and I'm not the best public speaker or whatever, but I think people get it. So like if I had to describe myself now is I'm a teacher. I'm going to get people to that are intimidated by new things and make it simple for them and do that. And then when I have a project video that I just want to make a video, a music video, or is it going to be pretty or just a try to make a beautiful video, then I'll do that. But for the most part, from now on, it's going to be, I'm going to be doing instructional videos in some form or fashion.
Gotcha. Very good. I mean, because you do a good job of the instructional videos. You pretty much tell everybody exactly what you're, you know, what the step is and why you're doing that step. And, you know, why do you have to do this? Why do you have to do that? And that's why I like watching your videos. They're well thought out. Let's put it that way. It may not be scripted. That's what I'm looking. They may not be scripted, but they're well thought out because you probably sit down and go, okay, now I need to do this step, and the one thing that I do like in all your epoxy pour videos is you have a timer. And you're showing the timer, yeah. and you're a big proponent of heat.
Yeah.
Because you may want to elaborate on this a little bit more. But I know that, you know, at like 95 degrees, it starts to gel up. At 105, it gets a little bit thicker or something like that. And that's when you start to mix the different colors in for your pen blanks. So they don't just all mixed together and turn it black or, you know, a weird looking color.
Yeah. The different temperatures or different epoxies. I had somebody ask me the other day about a brand of epoxy I've never heard of. Mm-hmm. And I said, so what's the working time on it? And it's at the end of the working time, no matter what you're using, at the end of the working time, you need to start checking the temperatures, like do a smaller pour when you check the temperatures. And at the end of that working time, mix your colors and put it in the pot or whatever. And then the next time go like 5 degrees more, right. 5 degrees more. And then you can see the difference in the swirling you'll get. So at the lower temperatures, you're going to get two colors become three colors. So what you really want is two colors to stay two colors. You just want them swirled. And so you just need to, you know, I don't even remember the name of the epoxy that guy told me, but I'd never, ever heard of it. And I was just like, but they're all they all have the same principles behind it. And Alumilite is 95 degrees. 95 degrees will get you pretty good results and you have time to get it in the pressure pot.
Right.
So yeah, the bigger risk you want to take by not getting the pressure pot on time, the better your results are going to be.
Right.
I said, like, high risk, higher reward.
Yeah.
Yeah. Because I know that you, I think you did a video where you were like 95, 100, and you mm-hmm. showed the different progressions. of what it looks like when you swirl the colors together. And I thought that was just a brilliant way to show it. And you had cards that said, this is a 95 degrees. And then you did some calculations and I don't remember which video it was, but that's how we get people to go to your site and look for that video. We don't remember the name of it.
I wanted to know myself. I did that for me, really, but I knew other people, just like I said before, if I want to know it, or if I'm having trouble doing something, then other people are going to want to know. And that's, I did it with Liquid Diamonds and Alumilite. And I've had tons of people thank me for that video because they couldn't figure out how to get the swirling better.
And I'll definitely have to go back and look at that video, because like I was doing it just by, not necessarily by temperature, but just by like waiting, by like time after, like I said, after working time and waiting for it to get to that kind of I was judging more by viscosity, by like it getting thick. And I know like if it's thicker, it'll have less chance of actually blending together and staying separated. So I was going more by like that and just trial and error by more or less feel, I guess you would say. And to keep the color separate, because after a few random experiences, you kind of get to know, like if it's like right when you mix it while it's still very loose and viscous, it'll blend together. But if you let it sit for a minute and let it start to kind of gel and harden up, like not like hard like solid, but like kind of come together a little bit like heavy gravy, it'll swirl without actually blending into each other.
With the video that's coming out this weekend, I did it and I think I got it in the pressure pot at like 15 minutes.
Nice.
But it was a little bit cooler in the shop and it took longer to get the temperature, and I started pouring at 100 or 105, I can't remember what I did, but I got it in the pot and they turned out good. And the liquid diamonds, once again, I always do something that doesn't take a pressure pot and doesn't take a scale or whatever. So I did that one too, and it was pretty interesting results with that one too.
Right. Nice. Can't wait to see that.
And the best thing to do is always read the label.
Yeah.
Because there are certain epoxies that go by weight, and then there are some epoxies. I mean, a 2-to-1 in weight is not always 2-to-1 in volume.
Nope.
Right.
You know, because one, you know, so it doesn't, you have to read the label.
Yeah, some say weight or volume. Some say volume. And you just have to read the. Matter of fact, the guy that I was talking about with he wanted advice on that epoxy I never heard of. He sent me a picture of the label on the back, and it said the working time. So it was right there for him. People don't know what to look for. So I just said, okay, wait about 45 minutes and pour it, and then next time. And see what your temperature is, and then next time wait a little bit longer.
So basically what you're saying is the best, I mean, because you have a working time, and that's before that's before it starts setting up. Am I correct?
Mm-hmm. They want you to have that in the pressure pot, if it needs a pressure pot, before that time is up.
Okay. That was my question pretty much.
That's a suggestion though. So, I mean, I just said that, my Alumilite one, I had it in the pressure pot at 15 minutes, and it's because it was like 60, it was like a higher 60s degrees in the shop, instead of today was 71, and it cut the time by minutes.
Right.
Yeah.
So, I mean, so you're a big proponent of not time, but temperature, because because the temperature varies in your shop throughout the year.
Mm-hmm.
So if you use it 12 minutes in the winter and 12 minutes in the summer, it may set up in 8 minutes in the summer, and it may set up in 20 minutes in the winter.
And that's exactly right. So I'm going to be building a resin room in the shop that's temperature controlled.
Sweet.
The exact temperature all the time. So it should be the same amount of time it takes to get to the pouring.
Right. So you could also make it a wine room.
Not me. I'm allergic to alcohol. Fun fact about Jake.
So never buy Jake. Okay. Never buy Jake a beer.
In my 20s, I wasn't. I became allergic. Probably a good thing.
I'm glad.
Yeah, maybe, probably.
Definitely a good thing.
You're definitely a cheap drunk then.
It's not drunk at all. So.
There you go. See, that's so cheap, you know. Yeah. Hey, Jake, let's go out for a beer, okay? And I didn't spend a damn thing on you, man.
I'll have a water.
Like, does that include like rubbing alcohol or like all alcohols?
No,
or
just if I touch it with my skin or whatever, it's fine. But if I
ingest it,
I'm gonna die.
Wow. Okay.
Severe. Yeah, it's horrible. It's horrible.
Yeah. So don't eat grapes that have been fermenting for a while.
So if like you come over for like dinner, no like homemade red wine or white wine sauces or anything like that?
No. Okay. Please don't.
No getting fancy. Keep it simple. Keep it simple, people.
Well, yeah. Actually, Jacob, tell me, if you're doing a white wine sauce, that actually, the alcohol burns off, doesn't it?
Yeah, when you're cooking it, like the alcohol burns off almost immediately once you add it to heat. So like all you're left is just like with the flavor, maybe some of the sulfides or stuff like that that's in there, but like for the most part, whenever you're cooking like, you know, a sauce or like eggnog or something like that, when you're adding the rum and all that, whenever you're adding heat or like a flame to it, it burns off the actual alcohol part of it very quickly.
So there you go.
We're cooking out the alcohol, but just to be safe.
I'm so allergic that I won't even. If they're having like a chili cook-off, or I look at the ones that are putting like cooking it with beer or whatever, I don't eat those. I'm out.
And I had this really nice beer pickle, spicy beer pickle recipe I wanted to share with you.
Man, if I would have been allergic to alcohol, I would have saved a shit ton of money throughout my 20 years in the Navy.
That's how I could afford to do the things I do. Is I'm not out doing that.
Yeah.
Unless it's friends. So yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's a blessing in disguise. See what you know. You get your lifestyle this way.
Yeah. I'm not mad about it.
And you remember your lifestyle.
Yeah.
There's some days that I don't remember. Well, I still don't remember where I'm doing. Dang it.
That was a sidetrack, wasn't it?
That was really a sidetrack. It was good though. But you know, hey, sidebars, that's our thing. That's what we do.
Definitely what we're known for.
We are known for that. Jacob, ask a question because I'm drawing a blank.
Right, having struggling. Sure, no problem. Yeah, so
where am I?
Come back, a shiny object. All right,
shiny.
You talked about, you know, wanting to start selling things once you're, you know, transition over with that and kind of doubling down on YouTube. Is there anything else like in the future that you have in mind or you have planned as far as that goes, or anything else that you want to share?
I just want to get the blanks going, and then we mentioned the football hands. I made that display for that guy from Pittsburgh, but I can do the hands in different colors, and that might be something that I would sell to a different team colors. So if you had a signed football, then you want a display for it, and it'd be an arm popping out of AstroTurf. It's pretty cool.
I got one from the Saints. Is that could you do one like in black and gold?
I absolutely could.
That'd be cool.
Yeah, and that's down the road though. That's once everything's settled. I got to build the resin room. I'm going to build the resin room. I'm going to be doing art projects, and I like giving things away too. I don't know what it is about it, but
I'll give you my address. You can give me a whole bunch of crap. I don't.
Yeah.
Whatever you don't.
I like the pen blanks and just pen blanks and just like the YouTube and Amazon links and all the affiliates and stuff. That's stuff that I take care of on a video to video basis.
Right.
But as far as like, what do I like doing? And it's giving away the pen blanks, or I can make bigger blanks, and that'll be, I'm going to make a huge dragon egg for a 50K, for a 50K giveaway. And I've already got it. I don't know if y'all saw the fake burls I made and stuff like that. That's all part of what that's going to be. I'm going to make a nest for it and everything. So it's, there's a lot of things, and I can be out there, and there's no leash. There's nothing stopping your creativity. And one of the things I usually tell people is, even if you think it might be a little weird, like within reason weird, go ahead and do it. Like, go ahead and I put Wolverine on a toilet and made a lamp out of it. Like it's okay.
Yeah. Right. Exactly. Truthfully, the more weird it is, the better it is for you too, honestly.
Or just, you know, for yourself or what you're doing, or if it's in your head, let it out. Like it. That's what it's all about.
Do what you enjoy. You know, if it comes to your, yeah. if it comes into your brain, just try it. You know, it may be your thing. Maybe that thing that, you know, takes you from, you know, 50,000 followers to, you know, 250,000.
Or just your buddies think it's cool.
Right.
Exactly.
Or it takes you from 50,000 followers to 10. Yeah.
Like, I didn't do a wooden epoxy katana because it made sense.
Right.
I did it because I wanted to, and I thought it was cool.
Yeah.
So Jake, were you always kind of an artsy fartsy kind of guy, or did it just come to you one day and go, I'm going to do a little, try this and try that?
Growing up in art class in school, I could never draw, or I couldn't do things like that. But if you give me some clay, I could make something that was different than everybody else's. I won't say better or anything like that, but it was always I never placed it state or did anything that, but mine always made the display case. I'll say that. It always made it a display case. And I never, most of the kids that could draw and do things like that usually went, they were considered the artist.
Right.
And so like, I spent a large majority of my life working on cars and racing and building and everything, and that there's a lot of creativity that goes into that too. It's just not the same kind of thing.
Right. Yeah. I mean, everybody has some talent in them and would be, and is good at it. You just, the problem is finding it. And when do you find it? If, you know, Jake found his talent, or Jacob found his talent. Wrong guy, person. Yeah. My co-host found his talent. He's a great cook. You know, that's his talent. And, you know, luckily he found it early in life. You know, some people could, you know, find that their, you know, wood turning is, you know, they're awesome at that. And they don't find out until they're like 60.
Yeah.
That would probably be me. But I did notice, speaking of turning, I did notice that you use a Harbor Freight lathe.
Yeah.
Really?
I do. It was given to me. The guy that was helping me dig my ditches today for my internet line to go out to the shop so I could do lives better. He's a retired guy. He worked at the railroad for years and years and years. And he met me through YouTube. And he has a pretty cool shop and stuff too. He's Texas Woodworks on Instagram.
Nice.
But he called me one day and he's like, hey man, you want a lathe? And I was trying not to get a lathe because I knew once I got one, I wasn't going to do anything else for a while. Mm-hmm. So he says, hey, you want a lathe? And I said, well, sure. He goes, I got one at a auction. So I thought it was going to be like a desktop one or something.
Right.
And he brings it over and it's a full-size lathe. And there was like a bird nest in it. And the belt was messed up. And it was like, we had to get the engine, the motor freed up on it. And right. Then next thing you know, I'm turning on a lathe. That someone gave me for, and it's, you don't have to have the best. I've had people ask me, well, you're an influencer with quotes. You're an influencer. How come you don't have a big expensive lathe?
Yeah.
I said, because this one spins.
It still works.
Yeah. It spins. And the guy gave it to me and we're buddies. And I can show people that you don't need a $3,000 or $4,000 lathe to make cool stuff.
Mm-hmm. Right. Yeah. I mean, because I've seen the desktop lathes, and, you know, that's where I think if I were to do it, I would just get the, you know, what is it, a 10 inch lathe or something like that, just to make pen blanks and, you know, and test it out, and then probably get a carbide tip, you know, gouge or whatever you know, just to, you know, because I know that, see, that was my thing is I can't think of the reason why I wanted to purchase a lathe, because there were so many chisels and gouges and different things that you need, but now they have the carbide tips.
And that's all I have.
Yeah.
That's all I have to say to that. And I actually become friends with Easywood Tools. And when I was in England at Maker Central, I was turning at their booth. And before he gave me that lathe, I had turned one time at his house and I was just making an Instagram post. So I got out there with a chisel. I didn't know what I was doing. And it started making pretty cool shavings come off. And I'm like, hurry up, get a video. So he got the video. I put it on there and I was wearing a Stone & Son shirt. So he shared it. I got 100 new followers that day.
Nice.
I didn't even know how to, and just the time it took to do that little video, that was the only good shavings I made the whole time. That was the only time I ever turned anything before I got my lathe and started turning on my channel was that day.
Nice.
Right time, right place, for sure.
Yeah. You see people, it's once again, it's intimidating. But I'm doing it. But I'm doing it. I'm not special.
And I think that's why a lot of people get into YouTube. I think, that's why I got in. I was watching videos and going, well, if they can do it, I can do it.
Yeah.
It's going to take a while to get them fine tuned, but you just, Jacob, he's got how many videos? 70 something?
No, 50? I've got 48.
That's close enough.
48 and 49 videos and just 807 subscribers right now. But I got into it because I'd always been curious about it and I wanted to try it. I wanted to try starting to do different new things because I was I felt like I hit a wall. So I'd always been curious about it. And YouTubers making thousands of dollars and being able to live off of that. How does this really work? And actually getting into it. And I'm really glad that I did. I'm glad I like the process of shooting videos. I was just actually talking to somebody today at work, funny enough. They work on the Pelican side and one of their friends has a YouTube channel and he helps them shoot the video for it. And we were going over shooting different scenes, editing software. And I like being able to have that new skill set knowledge and be able to bump with people over that and have this new passion that I can kind of relate to other people with. I enjoy it. I enjoy talking to people about it now. I enjoy, the steps of it, the process of it, and how it relates and connecting it to my woodworking or my epoxy work or, just whatever I'm making. I like that.
And then the other thing is that no matter what, so if you're a turner, I'm doing epoxy, or this other guy's doing fine woodworking, we're still all getting a camera and putting on an editor. So exactly. we can speak that language together, talk about that.
Exactly. I could be using my phone or you could be using your camera and say I'm on this setting, ISO or shutter, frames per second, shutter speed, all those are still going to be the same across the platform. Just one has a little bit wider capabilities than the other. So I use my phone per se. And I know this other guy, he uses a camera. He was telling me about it the other day. But we can still go over composing the shot and angle and the transition between scenes. And once you get into there, it's a whole other language that you can just kind of connect with and just really nerd out over. And
it's a whole nother project on top of the project you did. Yeah.
Well, exactly. one thing, whole other span of work.
Yeah.
One thing that I love doing is actually when I start following somebody new, since I'll look it on the computer and you can sort by latest or the furthest back.
Popular. Right.
And so you get to see their very first video and then you can, basically binge watch through and you're like, and you could see the progression. And I think watching somebody progress from not knowing what the hell they're doing to still not knowing what the hell they're doing, make some beautiful stuff. And then they figure out how to actually make the beautiful stuff and present it in a pleasant way. And, and then it becomes second nature after a while.
Yeah, it's a definitely my first video that's on there has like 2,000 or 3,000 views. It's horrible. It's the most horrible thing I've ever done. But I leave it up there so that people can go back and see that they can appreciate how far you've came.
Right.
Exactly.
Yeah, I'll eventually put my first 2 or 3 back on there, but because they were just, I was just like, no, I'm trying to grow the channel, not scare people away. But it was.
I haven't taken mine off. Mine is like god awful now that I look at back at it. Like,
yeah, it was god awful. I've seen it.
Thank you for that.
It was hard, but look at you now. You're about to monetize. You're about to monetize yourself.
God, close.
You're close, man. You know,
200 away. So, like, yeah, I'm hoping to, like, you know, get that and just kind
of
keep
hell of a lot closer than you're hell of a lot closer than I am. I'm like at 44.
Because I did my homework last night too, and your videos are well done, by the way.
Thank you very much. I appreciate that.
Well, thank you. I appreciate that. You know,
well, that's Jacob. Sorry.
No. Steve, you suck.
But yeah, I do try to compose them in a way that I think will be nice. I try to go for a much more cinematic look.
Yeah.
Because I just like that look, and I just think that, like, you know, more making videos should look a little bit more sexy, I guess.
Yeah. So people that make videos know how hard that is.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So I watched a couple of them, and you do a good job.
Appreciate it.
Yeah.
Thank you very much.
Yeah, I've only fallen asleep 3 or 4 times.
Yeah. There's your edit for the episode. Yeah.
Son of a.
All right, write down the time code.
I am.
Yeah.
Does this?
This is what I do to mess with him.
He really does every time. It's like I make fun of him. He drops an F-bomb. And I'm like, damn it!
Exactly.
Now I gotta... But I get to use my blasters.
Yeah, it works out.
Yeah, it is pretty cool.
All right, and it's hilarious, isn't it?
Good stuff.
Yep. Yeah. No, so we digress.
Exactly.
We're at that time.
Yeah, I was about to say. So we start getting into the latter half of the show.
Latter half of the show. Yep. Latter. So let's see. So yeah, we'll do the maker shout outs. So as we always do. Jake, we always let the guests go first if they can think of somebody. If they can't, then we'll give them a little extra time.
I have one. It's Jamie Page, and it's JP Woodworks. Woodwork without the S.
Okay.
he does turning, and he does it every week. He does it consistently. He does it. It's, you know what you're going to get, and he does the premieres. So you get to get in the chat and talk to him while his video's going on. And nice. He's also, like, when I do a live, he's my earworm. So he's telling me what people are saying in the chat and stuff. And he does a really good job at it, and he's appreciated. So go over there and check him out and tell him Jake sent you.
Excellent.
Nice. Jacob, I can't remember who mine was. go
you
figure.
Forget no
go forget go figure
well thankfully I remember who mine is, and you remember, do you want to go?
Go ahead.
Okay, cool. So mine is Jeff, a weird guy, and his maker toolbox that he made. And so he did this for the Unwrap a Project challenge, and I'm trying to hold up now here so I can get it correct.
Way to be prepared, man.
I'm sorry, I had it and then, like, I switched windows. I'm sorry. But yeah, so he made this for the Unwrap a Project challenge for the Because We Make challenge that they just recently did, and they did the whole live stream. He actually won, like, every prize. He won Viewer's Choice. He won Pingo. He won the host. He was first place by the host as well. And he just did a great job. So he did, you know, he did this, the Maker's Magic Toolbox. So he did this toolbox. He made it in the shape of a toolbox. So think of, like, you know, like a magic eight ball where you shake it and then it, like, gives you the answer to things. But he did this as, like, maker related. So it's like, you ask it a question, it's either like buy a new tool or like, you know, help a friend out, or like, you know, make a project or make something new or try a new skill. He incorporated all these things that we kind of do naturally in our processes of, you know, either like I need a new tool for this project or like I want to try a new skill out. And he incorporated it into this toolbox with like some funny quotes in there as well. So I really appreciate that. He did a really great job with it. And, you know, he's super supportive in the community and is a super nice guy. So definitely go show him some love. It's Jeff, a weird guy. His handle is a weird guy. And he's more active on Instagram, but he does have a YouTube channel as well, where he has a few videos up of like some of the projects that he's made. So definitely, you know, give him a follow.
Definitely give him a follow. Nice. I actually follow him. So my maker shout out today is a friend of the show, friend of mine, friend of yours, and friend of Jake's. It is Vincent Ferrari. He has just redone his logo.
Yeah, I saw that.
It looks kind of sweet. So I think he's doing a little transitioning. I think they also redid the logo for their podcast. So
they did.
Yep. So if you guys want to just check that out, I just think that the new logo is it fits Vincent's style. Let's put it that way.
Yeah, it looks really good. You did a really great job.
Yeah, but still handmade by Vincent Ferrari. But you know, it's just it looks muy bueno.
Muy.
Hey man, I'm totally white. That's all I can say.
Anyways. But yeah, the logo does look really good. Vincent did a great job with it. I like, and also just his philosophy behind it is really good to hear. So if you guys go on Instagram and, you know, follow his feed, he goes into a little bit of his mentality behind it, and it's really good. Because it started out as
good. Sorry.
Sorry.
No. I thought you were done.
No, I wasn't, but yeah, it's okay. I'm used
keep
to it.
Keep going.
But yeah. I mean, they had the circular saw symbol in it, and then that just it kind of just, you know, that word pigeonholed them into like one specific, but they branch out for a lot of different kind of making. So that's where he was kind of struggling with, and like his the journey of how he got to this logo is pretty interesting too. So it's a great looking logo. I think it really captures what they're trying to go for, and like not just so one street, but more all encompassing. So yeah, they did a great job with it.
Yep. And that's why for some reason I was like, I couldn't remember who it was. It happens when you get old. I'm still on a high for my grandson. Sorry. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So we're at that time, Jake, we gave you pretty much an hour of time to think about this question. And since we already know that Jake is not married, he is happily single, like yours truly. Who is your celebrity crush?
It's not even close. Jessica Alba.
Oh,
nice.
Nice.
And I haven't seen her on TV in years, but when it's kind of like the music you listen to in high school.
Mm-hmm.
It's still good.
Still good.
Same kind of concept there.
Yep.
Yeah. I can dig it. I can get behind that.
Yeah, Morgan Fairchild. Morgan Fairchild is that way for me. I don't care how old she gets. She's still going to be Morgan Fairchild and just, whew. But anyway, so I'm sorry. Get off track there for a second. Whew. Sorry. I'm getting a little whoop.
Bring it back, boys. Bring it back. It's okay.
Okay. All right. I'm going to bring it back to something very important. Yes. If you really like our show and you want to support us, there's two ways now that you can do that. You can do it on anchor.fm/makersfiguringitout or our new account over at Buy Me a Coffee. We have an account there, so you don't have to, you know, sponsor us every week. You can just give a one-time donation or however much you want to. But we're trying to expand. We want to do more giveaways, or we want to start doing giveaways and, you know, get some stickers made and things like that. And all the proceeds from all of any kind of revenue streams at this time. I'm just going to put that in there. At this time, we'll go back into the show for, like I said, stickers and different prizes eventually. And I'm also going to do a shout for our 52nd show, our 1 year anniversary show is coming up. So if you would like to donate any kind of prize or something along those lines, it could be a gift card or a pen blank, Jake, or things like, you know, things like that, please hit us up either on Instagram or send us a email at makersfiguringitout@gmail.com or makersfiguringitout on Instagram. And we'd really appreciate that. So we have some plans coming up, but we're not going to spoil those. But I think it's going to be a kind of a cool little challenge we're going to be doing. So I just want to let our, you know, listeners know about that. Jacob, can you think of anything else that I might have missed?
Subtle, Steve. Very subtle. That's what you missed. But like, no, I think you pretty much got it all. But yeah, so we have our 1 year challenge that's going to be coming up, and our 1 year anniversary for the podcast, which I still can't believe that we got to a year first off, and where we started at and where we are now. I'm just blown away truly by like how much it's grown. And yeah,
and I know the 52nd episode is going to be pretty spectacular. That's all I got to say. It's going to be a commentary.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to it. It should be interesting to say the least.
It will be so interesting and so embarrassing at the same time, probably.
But more for me than you. But
well, yeah, but still in all, you know, I'm the one that's talking, and you know.
Yeah, I mean, and that's always embarrassing. So,
I feel the love. See, this is why you don't do podcasts, Jake. You just make pen blanks and stuff, you know.
Well, that's to be determined.
Oh, little inside.
To be determined. Yeah,
you heard it first on Makers Figuring It Out, fans.
Nice. It all started here.
Okay, yep, so we got everybody shouted out, we got our bills paid, and so I guess the only thing left to do is thank our guest for coming out tonight. We really appreciate it, Jake. It was great having you here, great having your insights on everything that you know shared with us, epoxy related and not epoxy related.
Thanks for having me, guys. I had a lot of fun, and I've been waiting for you guys to ask me for a while.
Oh, really? Well, we're glad that we could finally get you on and, you know, get all those dreams come true.
I've made it now.
You made it now. Yeah, I made it to the podcast. Yeah, I'm
all right. So we'll be expecting like several thousand views from your episode here. No pressure. We need some legwork on this one.
I'll tell my mom to watch.
All right, that good. Yeah, that's all we need. Say no more.
I can't even get my dad to listen.
But yeah, we appreciate you being on. So Jake, want to tell everybody where they can find you at on the interweb?
On YouTube, it's Jake Thompson. On Instagram, it's Jake_Thompson670. Jake Thompson was taken, obviously.
Obviously.
And if you just type in Northside Custom Crafts anywhere, and it'll come up. Facebook, and even if you type that in on Instagram, you can find it that way. So
nice,
very good. Jacob, where can we find you?
Find me at Native Sun Woodar on YouTube, Instagram, Facebook. I also have a Patreon and a Buy Me a Coffee as well, and all as well as a Teespring account. So if you want to buy some Native Sun Woodar merch,
yeah, he's just trying to make money as much as he can.
Look, man, I'm trying to do my best in this economy.
Yeah, yeah, do it. Gotta do it.
And the only place you can find me is on Instagram and YouTube and Facebook, and that's about it. Because I'm retired.
Uh-huh. Mm-hmm. And you can find the podcast itself though on Buy Me a Coffee and Instagram, and on any of your favorite podcast providers as well.
Yeah, and we do want to give us we do want to give a shout out to all our fans. We just went over the 3,800 downloads, so that was pretty awesome. And so that means we're pretty much close to the 4,000. So guaranteed by the time this hits Jake, you will probably be at the 4,000 level.
I'll make it happen.
You'll make it happen.
Yeah, I'll make it happen.
You're going to get us over that hurdle.
Yeah, you'll get it.
Yeah. He's just going to make, you know, 2,000 more accounts and or 200 more accounts. So just.
I got it. It'll happen. It's going to happen.
I mean, the numbers count either way, right? Right.
That is true. Yeah. So, all right, Jacob.
Should I take us out?
Take us home, buddy.
All righty, brother. So, as always, guys, we really appreciate everyone listening. Be sure to leave us a review. Big shout out to Brandy from First Do Woodworks, who left us a review on the podcast recently. We really, truly do appreciate that. So leaving a review helps us so much. Sharing the show helps us so much. And just getting us in front of as many people as can helps us a lot. And if you can, leave a review on your podcast provider. Just leave us a message on Instagram, and I'll be sure to read those on the podcast on the next episode. So with Jake and Steve here at Makers Figuring It Out, it is our mission to educate, motivate, and inspire, and we hope we've done that for you today. So this is Steve and Jacob reminding you, keep learning, keep getting motivated, keep getting inspired, and keep figuring it out.
And
we'll see you guys next time.
Bye, guys.
Bye-bye. We'll